In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, O Spirit of Jesus. Come, O Spirit of adoption. Come, O Spirit, wonderful Holy Spirit. Come, come, come. We saw that Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion of the Spirit, and Elijah said, "If you see me leaving, you'll get it." And he saw him. And we're talking about the miracles of Elisha now. Elijah is at the right hand with God. He's there having a good day. But Elisha is the one that now will be the prophet of Israel. And it goes on like this. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, that means he's a pagan, was a great man, and his master an honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He also was a mighty man in valor, but Naaman was a leper. So we see he's a great man, even in the eyes of the world. He's a good man, but he was leprous. Leprous. And let me tell you about leprosy. Leprosy was not everything in your being was falling apart. It could be just one blotch on your face. And they didn't have antibiotics or chloroquine or whatever they put on them. But they would ostracize the leper. Now, Naaman is a rich man. He's in his house, but he has leprosy. And how do you deal with leprosy? You try to make it better, but it starts spreading. So the scripture goes on. And the Syrian had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. Now this is the little maid that is the heroine of the story. They captured a little maid from Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She was the servant to Naaman's wife. And the scripture says, "And she said to her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" In other words, why doesn't your husband go to Elisha in Samaria, because Elisha will heal him? So we have a witness here, this little Jewish girl who is a servant to the woman of the house, says to the woman of the house, "You know what? Your husband should go to Samaria and visit with Elisha. He'll be healed." I'm going to tell you, you know, I lived in an Irish house when I was ordained for 8 years. And I'm going to tell you, the lady who did the cooking was a beautiful lady. She still is. But she had a lot of influence. A lot of influence with the pastor. The pastor would confide in her, and she and him, they were real good friends, wonderful, wonderful good friends. And what she said was very, very important to the pastor, because she was pure. She was a pure woman, and he would ask the woman's advice, and he would finally make up his own mind, but the woman was there to help him. And I'm going to tell you, this little maiden is the key to the story. Would it be impossible for Naaman, she wouldn't even call him Naaman, maybe Mr. Naaman, to go to Samaria and be healed by Elisha the prophet? And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment, and brought them to a letter to the king of Israel. So You see, he's into politics. So he gets all this money and all this clothing to the king of Israel. Listen to what happens. Now, when this letter is come unto the king of Israel, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that you may recover him from his leprosy. This is the king. This is not the prophet. See, he's into politics. You know, today it's the same way in politics. You know, what's his name? He'll get you a job, and he'll, you know who I'm talking about? You were in his campaign, and he'll get you a job. See, Naaman thought in political ideas and political ways, so he sends money to the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes. He started ripping his clothes. Why? And he said, am I a god to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me a letter to recover a man from his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. In other words, there was these three divisions in Israel. There were the people, the prophets, and the king. The people, the prophets, and the king. And the prophet was the prophet, and the king was the king, and the king was subject to the prophet. But you know what? The king could kill the prophet too. I'm telling you the story about Naaman the Syrian. Naaman the Syrian has leprosy, and so he goes to the king of Israel to cure his leprosy, and the king of Israel rips his clothes and says, never, I can't do this. I'm not God, and I'm not the prophet. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. In other words, Elisha is glad that he rent his clothes, because he knows that the king knows that he's not the prophet. Send him to me, and that he will know that there is a God in Israel. I'm going to tell you, there is a God in Israel. I tell you, they come to Holy Rosary. We got them from New Hampshire last week, because they know there is a God in Winthrop. They know that God heals in Winthrop, only because we have mustard seed faith. Only because we believe the word of God, they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. We cannot heal them, but we can declare healing and we can pray for healing. People come from all over to be prayed with. Why? Because there is just very few people that will pray with the sick. People say, what if they're not healed? Well, my friend, I'm not the healer. I'm the one who prays. That's my job, to pray. And yet these two women came all the way from New Hampshire. And, you know, they're going to come back. I said, come back. She has cancer all over. And you know what? God can heal the cancer that's all over her, because God is the God of miracles. And the scripture goes on to say, let them come here to me, that they know there is a prophet in Israel. And Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to thee, and you shall be clean. Now this is an interesting thing. Elisha doesn't even look at the man. He sends a message to him. Go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. Jordan River is dirty. Even to this day, it's not a clean river. It's dirty at parts of it, very dirty. Listen to what the man says. But Naaman was troubled and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. In other words, I had my ideas of how I was going to be healed. My ideas was he's going to come out, he was going to put his hands upon me, and I would be recovered from leprosy. But he says, go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. You know, we all have ideas of how God's going to heal us. When it's mentally, we have ideas we're going to have a miracle. But if we don't, I tell you, medicine is the way God wants to use. It's just important. We cannot tell God how he is going to heal us. That's totally impossible. You might say, you know, I'm standing on the word of God, and that's wonderful. But you know what? God has ideas that we do not have. Go wash 7 times in the dirty Jordan River. This was the idea of God. And let's see how Naaman responds to it. Are not the Arba, the Pisgah rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. In other words, he's not going to do what the prophet told him to do. I can find cleaner rivers, more beautiful rivers in Damascus, and I'm not going to do it. And his servants came near and spoke unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid you to do something great, would you have done it? How much rather than when he says to you, Wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of God that the man, the prophet, made. And his flesh again came like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Again, the servant is the star of the show. You know, if the prophet told you to do something very difficult, you would have done it. He said, go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. Why don't you just do what the prophet says? He's the man of God. Don't put any question mark at the end of a sentence when the Lord puts an exclamation mark. Go wash in the Jordan. Again, we have ideas of the way God's going to heal us. You know, and I'm not saying God doesn't heal. I'm just saying God will heal us according to the way that he wants to heal us. Yes, we always find people to pray with us, but it might also mean that you need chemotherapy and you need radiation. You know, God is the God of gods, and he has his ways. First of all, get prayer. Keep on being prayed with. I never stop praying with people. I tell them, you come back now. You come back because you know what? We can give you something the doctors can't give you. We can give you faith by the grace of the living God. But do what the doctors tell you to do. Do what the doctors tell you to do. And if they say, go wash 7 times in the Jordan, of course they wouldn't say that. You know, go and do what the doctors tell you to do. But also keep on coming back, and we will keep on praying with you. And he returned to the man of God, he and his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold now, I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray you, take a blessing of your servant. But he said, As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive no gift. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. In other words, Elisha wasn't going to get paid for it. He could have taken it. That would have been in God's will, too. But Elisha said, I don't want it. I just want to show you how gracious God is. I want to show you that you can't pay God, that God does this out of his gracious will. And then we go on. And Naaman said, Shall there not be then, I pray thee, to be given thy servant 2 mules? And a burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In other words, I want to take some of the soil from Israel, that when I offer sacrifice, I'll be offering it to the God of Israel. This is the Holy Land. This is, I think, the first time you see Holy Land. Holy Land. Yes, Holy Land. Let me take all this soil that I can put it down, and I can thank God that he healed me, and I can offer sacrifice to God. And listen to this now. In this thing, the Lord pardon your servant, because he's going to be that when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. In other words, he's going to continue to go to the poor pagan temple, but he's going to be thinking that it is the Lord who heals. It is the Lord who is the Lord, and he doesn't want a bad name. And you know what? He gets permission to do this. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Let me tell you, God is a God that wants our best. He is a God that wants to heal us. He is a God that wants to flood us with his presence. He is a God who is and who was and who is to come. And Elisha knew this God. He got a double portion of the Spirit from Elijah. And Elisha is the man of God. We need men of God. We need women of God. We need people that will say, I am a man of God. I am a woman of God. Not because we say it, but because the people let us know. I told you, a woman came to the church one day, and she said to me, I know you are a man of God. We were praying for healing. I said, how do you know that? She said, you were in the market basket, and you had this beautiful crucifix, and I admired the crucifix, and you took it off and gave it to me. She says, I knew then you were a man of God. And I see what's happening in your church, and I'm convinced you are a man of God. I could tell you, I don't have to tell people I'm a man of God. It's people who tell people. They come to our place. Why do they come to our place? God sends them. God sends them. I'm surely not charging for them coming. I'm surely not saying, well, you've got to give me this, this, and the other thing. I never say that. And when people give me something, usually I give it away. I give it away to people that aren't working. So I'm telling you, this Naaman knew the power of God. Now, we remember Jesus talking about this. And I'm going to read it from the 4th chapter of St. Luke. And unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto a widow at Zarephath in Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. She was a pagan. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with indignation and wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill where the place was built, and they might cast him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went his way. Why did they want to kill Jesus? Because he said, God visited the Gentiles and not the Jews in the widow of Sidon and in Naaman the Syrian. And you know what? God's going to do the same thing again. If you don't accept the Messiah, God will go to the Gentiles. And they got so angry, they wanted to throw Jesus headlong over the cliff, but he walked right through. He walked right through. You know why? It wasn't his time. It wasn't his time. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. In other words, I'm going to Naaman and get some of the stuff he promised the prophet. The prophet said, no, but you know what? I'm the servant, and I'm going to go get something, and I'm going to get something for nothing. That's what he's saying. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well, my master. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. He's lying. In other words, he wants to be paid for what Naaman did. Naaman did not accept the money. Naaman did not accept the clothes. Naaman did not accept anything. The only thing he wanted was the earth from the Holy Land, so that when he sacrificed, he would sacrifice on the earth. Now Gehazi is into money. He wants some clothes, he wants some money, he wants some talents. And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver to 2 bags and 2 changes of garments and laid them upon the 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. And he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, 'Where are you coming from, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Your servant went no whither.'" Then it says, "And he said unto him, 'Went not mine heart with thee? Was not my heart with you when the man turned again from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? And the leprosy, therefore, that was on Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever.' And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow." You see, it's the whole thing that's in the heart. The whole thing. Gehazi wanted riches. Elisha did this out of the mercy of God. He wants Naaman to know that there's only one God. Naaman finds this out. He's not paying Elisha off. Naaman wants the earth from Israel so that he can worship on the Holy Land. You see, God, first of all, wants us to proclaim his word. Now, do people offer us gifts? Yes, they do. Should we take them? Sometimes we should, and sometimes we shouldn't. Sometimes we should, and sometimes we shouldn't. You can't pay God off for the work that he does. Though the labor is worth his worth in silver and gold, it's not the reason why we do it. The Lord wants us to do it out of the reason that we do it for him. Money is a strange thing. It can destroy. It can destroy. How many of these football players who were making millions and millions and millions, you want to know the problem? They were not mature enough to make the millions. They got themselves in trouble. They thought they were above the law. This is very pathetic. You know, you don't want to get rich before you can handle the riches and know where you came from. You don't want to use money in such a way where you allow God to make you do things that you need to do. You don't want riches unless you're able to handle it. And you know, not many people are able to handle it. And God withholds riches from many people because they're not able to handle it. They're going to make a mess out of it. They're going to get in trouble. So what do I say? You know, give us this day our daily bread, and yes, keep on tithing. And when you are mature enough, maybe God can trust you with a lot more. But when you are mature enough, maybe God can trust you with a lot more. Don't become rich before your time, because it will destroy you. It has destroyed more people than I could ever imagine. And no one talks about this. You know, people that win the megabucks, so many of them get destroyed. They don't know how to handle this. And so they get themselves in trouble. When you are receiving lots of money. The first thing you do, even little money, is you tithe it. The second thing you do is you have to remember your roots, that right now you are who you are before you received all this money and after you received all this money, and that God is God and He's still on the throne of your heart, and He wants you to acknowledge Him rather than to spend all this crazy money. It can destroy. Filthy lucre, the love of money, is the source of all evil. Not money, but the love of money is the source of all evil. The love of things is the source of all evil. Stop wanting things. Stop wanting things. We want to want Jesus. We want to want Jesus. I need to hear from you so we could pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And my friends, if you are interested in a Holy Land trip, I am not going, but a friend of mine is. You write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, teach us to honor You first. Teach us not to be money mad. Teach us to always, always honor You with what You've given us and to be thankful. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.